But the issue here is make your calling and election sure that you know that you are one whom God has called and whom God has chosen. Now, the thing to note here is that you can be sure. It says here in this verse, make your calling and election sure. If it was impossible to know, if you cannot be sure, then why would Peter write in these terms? You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I count it a great privilege to bring the message of the gospel day by day. Just before we close, we have a few quotes and a final text on the subject of assurance. Mr. Spurgeon says that if any man is not sure that he is in Christ, he ought not to be easy one moment until he is sure. Dear friend, without the fullest confidence as to your saved condition, you have no right to be at ease, and I pray you may never be so. This is a matter too important to be left undecided. We count it no presumption to say that we are saved, for the Word of God has told us so in those places where salvation is promised to faith in Christ. The presumption would lie in doubting the Word of God, but in simply believing what he says, there is far greater humility than in questioning it. The teachers of doubt are very doubtful teachers. A man must have something to hold to, or he will never bless himself nor others. And again, Mr. Spurgeon said that full assurance is not essential to salvation, but it is essential to satisfaction. May you get it. May you get it at once. May you never be satisfied to live without it. Well, of course, every preacher wants his people to have the assurance of salvation. For that we preach. And of course, for that the gospel is given, and the promises of God are given in his word. For that God sent his Son into the world, that people would believe on him, that they might not perish, and that believing, they would be saved and sure of heaven. So you may know it, and you ought to know it. Well, believe today, and you will have the very assurance of salvation within your soul. Here's a text of Scripture that will help. It is Philippians 1 and verse 6, which says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, 6. Take that to heart. Pray over it. And God will give you the sweetness of blessed assurance within your own soul that you are saved and sure of heaven. Well, we come to a little bit of theology tonight in 2 Peter 1 and the verse 10. And the exhortation is to make your calling and election sure. We would have some difficulty with this statement if it was in isolation, if it was just picked up on a lonely island, and this was all we ever heard and all we ever knew of this subject of election. Well, such statements in the Bible are never isolated. They are a part of the great body of truth in the Bible, and thankfully we have a lot of emphasis on a sovereign God who descends to choose his people. And we can say tonight that God is a God of electing love. He called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. Why Abram? Why did he choose him? There were thousands and thousands in that city, but God called one man to be the father of the faithful, to be the head of a nation, and to be the progenitor of a people whom God would raise up. And then God chose Isaac. And from Isaac's family he chose Jacob. Esau was the firstborn. He was the one who should have been the heir. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And Jacob was to be the father of the nation that we call Israel, because it was his name that was changed into there. So we see God's electing, selecting, choosing work right down the line of the patriarchs. And then the nation of Israel, God said that he chose Israel, not because they were greater, not because they were better, but he loved them simply because he loved them. Then when you get to the New Testament and to the Gospels and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, we find again this sovereign choosing, this electing work of the Lord. Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. So salvation is not by IQ, it is not by our industry, it is by God setting his love upon certain people. The Lord Jesus also said in the Gospels, verily I say unto you that, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a widow, a woman that was a widow. And then he went on to enlarge, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman. And so we see right through the ministry of the Old Testament, the ministry of our Lord Jesus in the Gospels, and then we get to Romans 9, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And we find that election is a biblical doctrine through and through. We do not just discover it suddenly here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And it is a doctrine that is to be greatly loved and delighted in. It becomes one of the pillars in the faith and in the whole gospel that we adhere to. Now, the issue that Peter addresses in this text is not just, is there a doctrine of election? Is it true that God, in his sovereign grace, for no earthly reason, but only because he loves whom he loves freely, and he sets his delight on them, that is a great truth. But the issue here is, make your calling and election sure that you know that you are one whom God has called and whom God has chosen. Now, the thing to note here is that you can be sure. It says here in this verse, make your calling and election sure. If it was impossible to know, if you cannot be sure, then why would Peter write in these terms? Now, this word sure comes up twice in this passage. You'll find it here in verse 10, and that's the certainty of election. Down in verse 19, the word sure comes up again in reference to the Scriptures, the written word. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. And so these are things that are absolutely certain. They are foundational. They are pillars of our faith. And you can see what Peter's doing. He is laying a foundation in chapter 1, because in chapter 2 he's going to talk about the false prophets and those deceivers, those false teachers who will bring about these damnable doctrines. And so what he's doing here in chapter 1, he's laying the foundation, the things that are absolutely sure. And election is the first one. Now, some might say, but is this not bragging? If you're going to go around and testify that I am absolutely sure that the God of heaven has set his love upon me and that I am the favored, chosen one, that is merely us in our pride, boasting and bragging. Well, Peter and the Word of God, the Bible, gives this assurance. So it's not wrong to write on your church membership form, I have the assurance of sins forgiven. Because you can be sure. God wants his people to live in the enjoyment of assurance. This is not merely bragging. Now, that doesn't mean that as a Christian you become obnoxious. I remember once sitting in a restaurant in a waiting area before we could get a seat, and there came in the people sitting there, and they were from a very hyper-Pentecostal group, the Brahmanites. And they have a church just about probably less than a mile from here. And while we were sitting in close proximity listening to their conversation, it was annoying, to say the least, to listen to their manner of talk. And Christians ought to be wise and gracious in how they introduce the whole matter of giving their testimony and speaking for the Lord. Now, the best thing that can happen is when someone comes along and they ask you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. And then, well, you've been invited to give your story. And then you can say, well, God opened my heart and I've been saved by grace. And it's out of that assurance, it's out of that blessed hope that you are able to give forth a testimony of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, Peter, he is teaching in this passage that election makes sure. Not only can we be sure that we are elected, but election makes sure. Without election, we couldn't be sure of anything. It would all be subjective. It would all be my choosing, my willpower, my ability to continue and to cling to whatever degree God has reached down to save men in general. It would depend on me, and it would depend on me on the day, whatever my mood might be. If you ever got up on a Monday morning or any morning of the week, and it was lunchtime before you even functioned normally. Well, sometimes if you've got a headache, if you've got some kind of an ailment, or if you've just worn out, it's hard to be that person with all the strength and the stamina to live as a joyful Christian. But when you know that God has chosen you and he has called you to himself, then it makes all the difference. So I have 3 points tonight, and I merely want to lay these out before you. First of all, election is the God-given basis of assurance. Election is the God-given basis of assurance. If you're not sure of your election, how can you be sure of anything in your Christian life and walk? And the thing to note here is that this election is God's act. You must be very clear on this. If you read the text, you'll see this. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, it would be a twist and a stretch of reading the text to insert in there that is you calling yourself, or it is you choosing yourself. You can't read it that way. You can't interpret it that way. This text is very clearly saying that you are to make sure that God has called you and that God has elected you. The action is God's. You must see that, because we're not going to make any progress. We're not going to clear this whole matter up tonight if you don't come to a clear conviction that the electing work, the choosing part, is God's action. And when you settle that in your mind, that is the declaration of this text, then I think we can make some progress. God is the actor. The sinner is the one being acted upon. You read verse 3. You will see that according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us. So this is now God's action, God's calling unto his people. And then go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And so it's the Father that is doing the electing. Let's not get this upside down back to front. It is God's work to choose. It is God's work to elect. Now, think of those figures whom we most identify in the Bible with God's calling and God's choosing. We're back to Abraham now. The man whom God called out of Ur of the Chaldees. His call, his election, was the basis of his assurance. If you had met Abram, especially after Haran, when Terah died, and he was now launching out into this land of Canaan, going not knowing whither he went. If you had asked Abram, "Abram, are you sure about this? Are you sure that God has called you? Are you sure that you're the man that God wants to step out in this way?" He would have been absolutely sure, without a doubt. Indeed, I want to prove that. Let's go to Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out. Now, maybe I should interject here a little thing. You'll notice that there's two statements go together, calling and election. One really is the cause. That's God choosing. The calling is the power of it, the outworking of it. It is the convincing of it. And so in God's mind, he elects. In God's grace to reach men and bring them out of their sin and into his will, he calls them. That is God's work. And so we see Abram here by faith. Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now the uncertainty for Abram has, Abram, where are you going to park? Where are you going to set up home? He had no idea. But he knew that God had called him. And then verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Then it talks about Sarah in verse 11. She herself received strength to conceive seed, deliver a child, and she judged him faithful who had promised. And therefore they sprang even there, even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. So God kept his promise. He made Abram a father of many, many people. And it says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Please note that little statement. And were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers in the earth. Now that's Abram's testimony. In fact, that's the New Testament's commentary on the call and the persuasion by which Abram obeyed God. Let's move to Paul's testimony now in 2 Timothy chapter 1:12. And here he is testifying of the assurance in his own soul. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Here's the word persuaded again. That's what got me to this text. You have Abraham, Jacob, Isaac persuaded. Now you have Paul in the New Testament. And he says, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep me. If you had met Paul and asked him, Paul, are you sure that you are called of God? He would have given an absolute yes, I am persuaded. And when he preached before Felix and before Augustus, he gave a testimony of God's call to his life. Now, it is therefore not wrong to be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Indeed, that's what we're commanded to do. And you tonight ought to have a clear testimony and a call from God that you have left the world and that you are living in faith, persuaded that you are a Christian and that you're en route as a stranger to glory, one day right into heaven. And so there is no need for a wimpy attitude. Well, I might be a Christian and we'll just wait and see what God does with me. That brings no glory to the grace of the gospel. Rather, that might hinder your growth and hinder your progress in the Christian life. So the first thing I've drawn here is that election is the very basis of our assurance. Secondly, election stirs believers to godliness. It stirs us to godliness. Now, I'm coming back to the text, and I want to get this right out of verse 10, that we are to give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I want you to notice here that the purpose of election is godliness. For if you do these things, what are these things? These are the seven things, the adding to our faith, knowledge, virtue, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, these seven things. And so if you are elect of God, if you are a chosen one by God, you are chosen to godliness and to bear the very marks of one who is in Christ Jesus. So I'm saying that this statement in verse 10, where it refers to if you do these things, leads you back to verses 5 to 7. And then if you go to verse 8, you will see how it is put positively. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Then verse 9, it's put negatively. But he that lacketh these things is blind. In other words, you don't know. Spiritually blind. You'll notice you can't see forward and you can't see backward. For he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, cannot see forward, couldn't see what Abram saw. He couldn't see the city of God that he was hoping in, and hath forgotten that he was purged from those old sins. That person's not a Christian. That person's not saved. He's spiritually blind because he's not adding to his faith. But this call of election, you're to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fear. So there's the purpose of election is godliness. You will see the passion of election is godliness. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I count it a great privilege to bring the message of the gospel day by day. Just before we close, we have a few quotes and a final text on the subject of assurance. Mr. Spurgeon says that if any man is not sure that he is in Christ, he ought not to be easy one moment until he is sure. Dear friend, without the fullest confidence as to your saved condition, you have no right to be at ease, and I pray you may never be so. This is a matter too important to be left undecided. We count it no presumption to say that we are saved, for the Word of God has told us so in those places where salvation is promised to faith in Christ. The presumption would lie in doubting the Word of God, but in simply believing what he says. There is far greater humility than in questioning it. The teachers of doubt are very doubtful teachers. A man must have something to hold to, or he will never bless himself nor others. And again, Mr. Spurgeon said that full assurance is not essential to salvation, but it is essential to satisfaction. May you get it. May you get it at once. May you never be satisfied to live without it. Well, of course, every preacher wants his people to have the assurance of salvation. For that we preach. And of course, for that the gospel is given, and the promises of God are given in his word. For that God sent his Son into the world, that people would believe on him, that they might not perish, and that believing they would be saved and sure of heaven. So you may know it, and you ought to know it. Well, believe today, and you will have the very assurance of salvation within your soul. Here is a text of Scripture that will help. It is Philippians 1 and verse 6, which says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Philippians 1:6. Take that to heart. Pray over it. And God will give you the sweetness of blessed assurance within your own soul that you are saved and sure of heaven. Stay tuned now for these closing announcements. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gollaher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, he is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.